I want to talk to you about the power of regifting. How many of you are guilty? I see one hand. Anybody else? I see another hand. I need to know if I get gifts from these people. Anybody else, you ever do the regifting thing? I want to talk to you this morning about the power of it. Turn in to Luke chapter 11, and I want to share with you something that is just grabbed a hold of my heart. And I want you to know that the sermon didn't come as a result of the theme of Christmas. The sermon was already there, and then I realized the connection that the Lord was trying to make. Because I've been talking to you about the Holy Spirit. I've been reminding you of the Holy Spirit. I've been reminding you of His presence and that He is and that how much He wants to be part of our lives. It's amazing in a culture like ours how often we have to revisit some of the doctrines that have just kind of faded away in many respects. And so I appreciate your patience in some of these issues because I can no longer assume that people understand some of the things that we're talking about. The identity of a Godhead in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's just not talked about. And I'm talking about just in Christian churches. The references are just vague, but there's no explanation that's given. And so sometimes we think that God has a multi-personality disorder or something, I think is the way it kind of comes across sometimes in churches. And sad to say, probably the Holy Spirit is the least emphasized, and there's reasons, I think, for that we have. But I want to talk to you about Him again this morning and who He is, not only in my life, but certainly who He should be in each one of our lives, as we find ourselves giving ourselves over to the King and to the Lord in redemption. When I preach to you, I tell you that knowing and having a relationship with the Lord is more than just salvation. It's more than just getting us away from a doomed hell journey. It's much more than that. Some people are just looking for the escape, the get-out-of-jail-free card. I'm saying, please don't live your life that way. Please don't do that, because so much of Christianity will be lost, not only for you, but also for those around you. And when I say the power of regifting, I'm talking about not using what you have been given on yourself, because you have been given something. There was a gift that's been given to you, and I want you to just illustrate this with me in my heart as I share the things that I've seen go over in my heart as I visualize this. And I know how I experienced it. I didn't realize it in the beginning of my salvation, that in fact the Lord presented Himself to me, and that it truly was a gift. And most of us know what that looks like when we've been given something. And it's goofy. I had this discussion with one of my sons this morning in terms of how goofy we get in humanity sometimes. How many of you have started the practice of, you know, we feel this sense of obligation, okay, that we have to give in certain arenas now, right? And so we start this process of giving. But many of you, how many of you in your family structure, you'd pick names? Okay, quite a few of you. You know, in the family structure, often, you know, you put the names and brothers and sisters and stuff, they pick names and stuff. What's the next thing we usually do? We go around and ask them what they want, right? And in many of those circles, that's what we do. We make a determination, well, I'm obligated to give you a gift. And so we go to that person and say, well, what are the things that you want? Well, I would like this, this, this. Well, why don't you just go buy it yourself then? See, the Lord didn't do that to us. He came to us because he knew what we needed. And I'm not just talking about a package of salvation. I'm telling you that something very real is supposed to happen in a transformed life and heart. There is a gift that is given. Gifts that are given. It's not just singular. It's plural. And in many cases, it's multiple at many different levels. And so I want you to have that visual image of what I'm talking about. Proverbs 18:16, I just came across it. How many times I've read this, and it never really had a connection to me. Proverbs 18, I'll get to Luke 11, so you just stay parked there. I'm just going to read Proverbs 18:16 to you. It says, a gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. What an interesting scripture. A gift opens up the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. I'm like, wow, okay, I get that. We understand, I mean, you've heard the phrase, it's better to give than to receive. How many of you actually believe that? I mean, I like the receiving part too, you know. I'm not going to kid you. But there's something dynamic and there's something real that's found in giving. And particularly, let me isolate it down to the kingdom of God. There's something about you, the phrases we use all the time, you cannot outgive God. Well, there's an element of that that is absolutely true. It's like the more you give, the more you have. It's just a dynamic of spiritual reality that's true. And so you have been given something. I actually changed my title to The Power of Regiving, but my original title was The Gift That Keeps on Giving. Because that's really what it's supposed to be. So if you look at those two dynamics of what I'm describing to you, the Lord gives something unto me that I haven't earned and I haven't deserved. He gives it to me because it's perfect for who I am and what I need. I open it up, I receive it unto myself, and now there is a responsibility that's given to me to re-gift it, to give it out. And the more I do that, the more real and the more powerful the gift itself becomes. And the opposite creates paralysis. The opposite creates spiritual death, ultimately, if it's not taken seriously. And that's why I want to encourage you. I realize how easily I could spin off in the sermon and start talking to you about the reason for the season. Okay, I'm not going to do a lot of playing on words. What I want you to do is take this message very serious, because I'm telling you it is very real. This is not just a Christmas sermon that I'm trying to develop. This is the reality of the Christian life that should be experienced every day. Luke 11. Jesus, in fact, is talking to his disciples about how to pray. And in verse 9, I want you to see what it says there. I'm going to read just a few verses here. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's real. This is so real. I believe that few topics generate more confusion and crisis and criticism than the Holy Spirit's work in the believer's life. So much so that most churches don't even visit the topic of spiritual gifts or the activity of the Holy Spirit. We avoid those topics because of the potential confusion that it brings doctrinally. I'm like, have we lost our minds? I have said this to you before. The entire New Testament assumes the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you read the Gospels, you will see that Christ is bringing the revelation of the one who is to come after him. Not another God, by no means, but the manifestation of God's presence in his church is who is coming. And so for some reason, let me just throw out a quick assessment. I think one of the biggest reasons for the lack of teaching on the Holy Spirit is the lack of experience from the pulpit out. You cannot talk about the one you do not know. You will not talk about the one you don't know. You don't talk passionately about the one you do not know. And when you do know him, then is when you want people to know and to understand that same truth. And let me tell you what the truth is. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for every member of the body of Christ. Every member. The entire church. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a gifted child. You are. It's not a matter of if. I'm telling you that it is the truth. A spiritual gift. Let me just flip for a minute because I'm looking at my footnotes in my Bible. There's kind of a little study sections that are found here. And I want to read some of the things that are... Let me just give you a couple paragraphs here. Because it's talking about spiritual gifts that are given to believers, everyone in the church. The Holy Spirit is manifested through a variety of spiritual gifts given to the believers. These manifestations of the Spirit are intended for the upbuilding and the sanctification of the church. These spiritual gifts are not the same as the gifts or the ministries mentioned in Romans 12, 6 through 8, or Ephesians 4, 11, which we'll get to in a few minutes, whereby a believer receives the power and the ability to minister in a more permanent manner in the church, speaking specifically about ministerial or leadership roles. The list in 1 Corinthians 12 is not necessarily exhaustive. It's certainly not intended to cover all the things that the Holy Spirit would do in our lives. And the gifts may occur in various combinations. The manifestation of the Spirit are given according to the Spirit's will, when need arises and according to the believer's eager desire. I want you to notice the two things that happen simultaneously. There's something that has to do with the desire for, and then the sovereign way that God will participate in our lives. Some gifts may be manifested through an individual on a regular basis, and believers may have more than one gift to minister to a particular need. Let me just give you a quick list. To give you an illustration of what I'm talking about, the gift of the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miraculous powers, the gift of prophecy, the gift of distinguishing between spirits, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Those are some illustrations of the types of gifts that I'm talking to you about. And what I'm trying to tell you is that in the church, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will hand you something. There is no exemption. Not one. I don't care if you're 4 years old or if you're 40 years old, a present, a gift will be handed to you. If you lift up the name of Christ and profess to know Him, why do I say that so confidently? Because that's who the Spirit of God is. That's what He does in the church. That's what He does. So, spiritual gift is a divine given ability offered to every true believer in order to worship God and to serve His church and to help build His kingdom. We, every one of us that profess Christ, we are the one charged with carrying out God's program in this age, in this day, in this hour. It is our responsibility, not those who are past and not those in the future. This is our responsibility. That's why I bring something up to you like praise and worship. I say, we've gathered here this morning with a responsibility that we have to worship the one who is magnificent. And in doing so, in obedience, God will do the miraculous, if you will just believe that. Now, I'm trying to explain to you that giftings of the Spirit of God are more than just human talent. How many of you know some unbelievers who are talented people? So do you see how the two are not synonymous? Do you see that just because somebody has talent does not mean that they are gifted? I know we use the term interchangeably, but I'm talking from a biblical perspective. I'm talking about a gifting that comes from God, comes from the Holy Spirit, that is a supernatural experience that supersedes somebody's just natural capabilities or natural talents. So you do not have to be a Christian to be talented. But you have to be a Christian to be gifted. You have to. There is no demonstration of the Spirit's power. There is no demonstration of the Spirit's working in an unbeliever. It doesn't happen. Salt water and fresh water will not come from the same well. It will not. Lightness and darkness cannot dwell together. If there is a supernatural work in your life, then it is because it is a gifting from God. Spiritual gifts are the sovereign choice of the Holy Spirit. And I know I throw out these terms that I'm going to try to always explain a word like sovereign. Sovereign is a description of God and God alone. Satan does not have that description. No human being would ever have that description. God's description in sovereignty is He is all-powerful, He is all-present, He is all-knowing. He's everywhere. That's sovereign. And I know, I'll be careful, I'll step out there lightly. But have you ever noticed that the attributes given to Santa Claus are sovereign? Did you ever know that? Now, that wasn't an anti-Santa Claus message there. I'm just saying, keep it attached to who it belongs to. The Father and the Father alone, God the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are the only ones that have the attributes of sovereignty. But nonetheless, they do. And so God has this sovereign, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful choice in Dan Berger's life to give him a gift that is perfect for who He has created me to be and the responsibility that I have in the kingdom of God. Spiritual gifts differ from natural abilities in the results that they reproduce. Yes, the church is full of natural abilities, but I'm praying, God, please, will you take me beyond just natural abilities? Will you use me in the capacity of the spiritual realm, in the spirit? Will you use me? Because the difference between what Dan Berger can produce in natural talent and what he can reproduce in the giftings of the Spirit, the difference between those two things are the results. The results. What I can reproduce in the natural talent is I can entertain a room full of people and probably make you laugh. But here's the deal. You will leave here and you will not be changed. You might even be able to look back to this moment with a smile on your face and say, that was a nice little speech. I've actually had people who aren't churched, and I've had people use that term before. Like after a funeral service, they shake my hand and said, that was a nice speech. I just smile and thank them for it, you know. And maybe that's really all I did, you know. But see, over here is something different that supersedes natural talent and ability. And it came in a gift. It came in a supernatural gift. And the difference is, when it is used, its results are different than that. And it's multiplying effect, and it goes in different ways that I have no way to measure in many respects. There is a repercussion that happens spiritually in your life that is changing to your life that I didn't control. I just simply walked in obedience to what God has called me to. That's the difference. So for the church, the gift that we have, the gifts that we all have, are for a very specific purpose. It's to facilitate growth in His kingdom. It's to move people towards Christ. It's for the sake of edification of one another, in glory to the heart of our Lord, who has created us for His pleasure and for His purposes. Our responsibility and my responsibility are to spur one another on towards maturity. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians. Why don't you turn there with me? When talking about spiritual gifts, often the sermon comes to 1 Corinthians, where Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church. For now, I'm just going to read verses 1 Corinthians 12. For now, I'm going to read just the first 7 verses. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. For you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God working all of them and all men. In verse 7, conclusion of what I'm going to read right now. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There it is. That is what I've been talking to you about. That is what I've been sharing with you. You all have received a gift if you have truly accepted the Lord as your Savior. You have. You see, what Paul was dealing with was a mess. The church was in a mess. The young church was in a mess. It had lost its way. But there's some interesting things that I want you to note of what was happening when this man of God was using his gift to speak into the lives of God's people. He was trying to get them to grow up. He was saying in many respects that the church had gotten really immature. And he was working hard to grow them up, to bring them to a place of maturity. The Corinthian church, I want you to notice this, the Corinthian church was gifted. They were a gifted people, but yet they had taken what was given to them and they became carnal with what they had been given, which means earthly. They took that which was given to them and they were responsible for, and they used it in godless ways that were not honoring to the Lord. So I want you to take note of that. I said to you that when a gift is been given, God will never take that back from you. At the point of your salvation, you were given a gift or gifts, whichever it is in your situation. The Bible tells us to seek it, to look for it, to passionately desire it, not for our own glory, but for the glory of His kingdom. And I want you to also notice that there is no necessary correlation between being gifted and being spiritually mature. There's the dilemma in the church most of the time. What we see so often is the demonstration of the giftings of the Holy Spirit, and often it's done, or sometimes, or once in a while, whatever the case is, it's done in an immature way. And guess what the response is? We just totally separate ourselves from that which God gave. Can you imagine if that would have been the response in the Corinthian church? Paul was rebuking them in some respects. He was rebuking them in terms of using one gift and not another in a particular situation. And he was saying to them, the reason that you're failing in this area is because you have no love. You're doing these demonstrations of the power of the Spirit of God, but you don't care about the one that's standing right beside you. How are they going to know? And let me tell you what the response of today's modern church is. Because we have come into the Corinthian style of experience, we throw out the baby with the bathwater. We have moved to a place where, obviously, if the giftings of God are being used in such an immature way, then it must not be from God. Paul never says that. He never once told the Corinthian church that the things that you are demonstrating are not from God, they're from the enemy. Never once. What he was doing was he was talking to the Corinthian church like a father would talk to his kids. And he was saying to them, listen, you were given something for a very specific purpose. And what are you thinking? Why are you not using it for the purpose in which it was intended? Instead, you are using it for your own carnal ways. You track them with what I'm saying here? Are you? All of you? I want you to know how important this is, not just to Lapeer Assembly of God, how important this is to your life. To your life. Oh, in a day and age like we live, we don't want anybody to have any responsibilities anymore. The way we're raising our children, we don't want them to be hurt. We don't want them to feel bad. We don't want them to feel challenged. I don't agree with that at all. Sometimes we need to paddle on our backside, and there's other times we need arms and hugging around our neck. We need to realize that life is not always that easy. And life is not always that smooth, and life is not always that fair. But God, in the middle of all of this stuff, He gifts His church. He puts the power of God in our lives. So the difference is the carnal Christian will play with his gift. And that's, I think, in many respects, is how the church has dealt with this subject. What I do is I embrace it. It's mine. It's all mine. And if it's something that I put on, you know, I say, You see what I'm talking about? Don't I look good? Don't I look good? I said, don't I look good? That becomes the spirit and the idea behind why I want God to bless and pour out in abundance His Spirit upon my life. It's so I can strut around like some peacock in front of humanity and let them see how spiritual I am. That is not sustainable. You will crash and burn for sure. So you take on that carnal idea. The carnal Christian will play with his gift when in fact a mature Christian will pursue more because it has a very specific idea behind it. He will pursue the righteousness of the Holy Spirit in a brokenness. And why did you give me this in the first place? But I thank you, I thank you, I thank you with a heart of gratitude, and I take on the responsibility of what you have given me. I take it on. And see, in the healing of this relationship, when I understand the heart of the giver and the reason that he gave the gift to the receiver, then what it does is it transforms. It absolutely transforms the way that I use it. You get it? It changes the way I use it. If I am selfish in the way that I receive the gift, then the way that I use it will be selfish as well. So what does the scripture say? Was the reason or the purpose for the gift? Let me read verse 7 again. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I told you, God has an agenda. Your gift is not to make you feel good or to advance your personal agenda. It is to flow through you, to benefit others outside of you. That is the regifting that I'm talking about. I take it upon myself to accept the gift that's been given to me in order that I can bless others. I regift it over and over and over. And every time I give it away, I find it right back in its original place. How good is that? This would make a really good sermon. God is asking you, who is benefiting from the gift He has given you? Stop and think. Since you have known Christ, and He has put something in you, who has benefited from that? Great question. Because my follow-up is, if it is only you, then you've missed the whole reason He gave it in the first place. And maybe this is a Corinthian moment. Just like Paul talked to the church, I get the same privilege to talk to us as to what's going on with us. I have to make the same evaluation, and I want you to know, I take this question very serious because I know for a fact, I know for a fact that there have been times in Dan Berger's life when he has taken that which was given to him from God, and I have used it in a carnal way. No doubt in my mind. And I say, please God, save me from myself. Holy Spirit, please show me where I would find myself locked up in that kind of spirit. It's such a transforming moment. To many in the church, perhaps, we find ourselves like little children on Christmas Day. I did a little bit of a, I don't know if you want to waste your time with this, but I went on YouTube last night and typed in spoiled children on Christmas Day. Wow. The first thing I want to do is take the parents out and beat them. The second thing I want to do is take the child and say, little one, you are going to be lost in life if you don't change your ways. And I thought, is it possible that like a bunch of spoiled kids, the people in the church today have taken that which God has given to us and we walk around and say, it's mine. It's mine. Do you understand? It is mine. I'm saying, God, please help us. Help me. Help me. I want you to know I'm not just preaching to you. I'm saying I want to absorb the whole of what this means. A child that would get, I want you to see these kids, and you can use your imagination. I want you to picture this in your mind. I want you to picture a parent handing a child a gift, and that child opens up that gift and all of a sudden goes, it's not what I asked for. How would you feel as a parent? I'm going to kill you, child. Or maybe the parent just reproduced after their own kind. Absolutely no investment. This child had no investment in the gift. This child didn't earn the gift, obviously, because of their attitude. There was no sacrifice. There was nothing given. It was an act of the will of a parent or a friend or a loved one that took something, took the time, bought something, wrapped it for them, handed it to them, and that was their response. Your gift, my gift, is for the common good. It's for God's agenda. It's not for ours. You are either a conduit of His presence, and I'm not just talking about some lifeless form, so don't just park there. The Spirit of God is intended to flow through you into other people's lives. You will either be a conduit or you're going to be a cul-de-sac. Either the gift is going to stop with you, or you will see the power of regifting. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing to do, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. How great is it to know that Christ has saved you and He has gifted you with a greater purpose in mind, to minister to the world? How many in the church today really believe that God can use you in that capacity? And you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a pastor, a teacher. You don't have to be a worker of miracles on the public stage. You can just take that which has been given to you and put it in the hands of a sovereign Holy Spirit. He will do the powerful work if you will, in fact, just walk in obedience. Now, two just brief points here. There are gifted leaders. There's supposed to be gifted leaders in the church. And there's supposed to be gifted people in the body. But none of us have an excuse. I realize that my gift might look just a little different than yours, but nonetheless, it's very defined in the Scriptures. In my view, there are several reasons that the church has become very anemic. And I start from this spot out. I say that the church has become very anemic because leadership has lost its way. Leadership in the church has lost its way. We have been tempted in many respects to move to a place of professionalism in the use of our own talents before God's people. And now, as our society has grown in technology where you can put yourself in front of the camera, it becomes even more magnified or more desirous to walk in that particular arena. Now, don't misunderstand me. We have some beautifully gifted men and women in the body of Christ that do not abuse. Just because somebody is public doesn't mean that they are carnal. I'm just talking to you about the temptation. Will you agree with me that, in fact, there has been a weakening of the church over the years? I'm describing to you why that is happening. We've got leaders in the body of Christ that are able to perform many tasks on sheer talent or abilities. And in some respects, they become the center of the universe as far as ministry goes. And the other part of it is your responsibility. I say you because I know that my calling and my giftings are very distinctive in terms of what God has called me to do within this church. The rest is to the body of Christ and your responsibility. I believe what's happened in the church is the church has lost its vision. The individual has lost that sense of purpose as to why God would use me in his kingdom. Overdependence on paid professionals to do with human talent what God wanted to accomplish through the exercise of spiritual gifts in the church. This is the reason that the church is supposed to be powerful not only in the doors but outside of the doors. You are the reason. Let me show this to you. Let's go to verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecies, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the working of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is made up Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," you get what it's saying here. You get it. Each one having its responsibility. The gifts are given because God wants to accomplish His program through us, every single one of you. Let me bring a challenge to you. Mitch, if you want to come back up. Actually, the whole team, come on up. All of you. Let me challenge you, okay? Let me challenge you big. I want you to take my question very serious. And let me ask the question, how many of you believe that this God has directed you here to this body and you know that this is your church? Okay? Is our church better because you are in it? Is this church different, better, pleasing to the Lord, whatever you want to add to the question, because you are in it? Now, for those of you who dwell in the place of insecurity, you will never answer that yes, even if it is beneficial. I realize that there's potentially that danger. Nor is my goal to make everybody in this place feel like a scoundrel if you haven't been effectively. But the broad, I'm not asking you, have you taught a kid's class or have you preached a sermon? Because I don't know what he's done in you. I don't know. I mean, in many of your lives, it becomes obvious in your function in Christ. It starts to unfold. But I want you to really take the kingdom of God in a serious capacity. Either the kingdom of God is real and Jesus is building his church or he is not. I'm saying don't live in both realities. Don't live with this pantheism kind of idea. Don't live with this idea that either God is all and in all, or the other idea, which is God is this magnificent being that dwells up in some celestial city somewhere, and he has no interactive relationship with me at all. So I just kind of meander through life and do my best. That is not the God that we preach, is it? The God that we preach is interactive with our lives. He saves you for a reason, and I'm asking the question, is this church better because you are here? Are we different because you are here? Are you doing what he has gifted you to do? Let me ask the question in a little different form. Are you looking to gain the benefits of this church but incur none of the responsibility? Good questions. These are thinkers. I like people thinking. I like people examining. Not so that you leave this place weighty. I'm saying that you leave this place different. And I realize that the giftings that God gives you might not always play out in these four walls. Sometimes your giftings are just dynamic out there where we're trying to win a lost world. I get that. But I'm saying every individual, everyone in this church, if God has called you here, I believe in God's callings to the local body. I can't hardly stand the idea of church shopping. And I realize that sometimes God redirects your life and he redirects. I know what that looks like, and I know that the Holy Spirit can do that. But what do I say to you all the time? For those of you who are visitors here, my prayer for you is that you will find that local body where you will be the most benefit to God's kingdom. I am not going to give you a sales pitch about Lapeer Assembly of God. You have to figure this out for yourself. But if this is your place, then you have a responsibility. Yes? I ask the question, are you looking to gain the benefits of the church but incur none of the responsibility? Let me just throw out something for you, because this is how I believe the Lord has placed it on my heart. Do you realize that cancer cells are the same way to the human body? Cancer cells want to operate in the body, but they want to operate in the body on their own terms. And so what they do is they break the body down instead of building it up. This plays out not only in the church local, but this plays out in the marriage, it plays out in the family, it plays out in the business world, it plays out in politics, it plays out in every facet of our lives. God gives you the gift not so that you can just perform in a sanctuary. He gives you the gift because it is part of who you are now, and it is part of the practice and the principle of your very life. I just got all these things. I told Sue, I said, I got so many things in so little time. But here's a potential tragedy. We already know that God has gifted every single one in this place. But I'm telling you, according to the scriptures, when it is not used, it will be lost. It will be lost. How many of you are familiar with the parable of the talent? I realize he's talking about a money amount, but it applies to what's been given to you that you didn't earn, that you didn't deserve. You remember when he went to the one who had one and hid it in the ground and took it from him? And God said, you wicked and lazy servant, and give it to the one who did. So what happens here is right here in this little block here is giftings and responsibilities that each one has for the other cell. If Cal chooses, not interested, if Cal wants to be the child on Christmas Day that says mine, over a period of time, he will watch a deterioration of his spiritual vitality. Here's the sad part to Cal, is the church is not going to suffer long term. Why? Because Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If he will not, then the Holy Spirit will transfer it to somebody who will. And so now an individual starts, who's asking and seeking and desiring, will start to get giftings that are gift upon gift. True story. Christ will always build his church. And the question now is not, are you gifted? Because every one of you have been given something by the Holy Spirit. The question is not, should you use your gift? Is it? The question is going to be, are you going to use what you have been given to the glory of the one who gave it to you? And so, as we conclude our service, I prayed and I said, Lord, how do we bring a conclusion to this? I feel like what I want to do is pray over this body. And as you sit there and they lead us in worship, what I want you to do, simply symbolic of faith, okay? You sit in that place and you keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, and you go before the Lord with these issues that this pastor has shared with you. And you make up your own decisions as to what's going on inside of your life. But I want you, for your own faith's sake, is to do something demonstratively to the Lord. And that is a simple action that does this. Just like that. corporately, I want you to believe with me in faith that the Lord is going to do something in your life. And for some of you, it might mean real salvation that'll just pour over your spirit. But I'm praying that what the Holy Spirit will do is start to define to you what is He has wired you for. It's not a mystery. All you have to do is put yourself before a sovereign God and look for the things that just make your heart tick just a little faster. Look for the things that you seem to be drawn through. I'm not talking in a carnal way. I'm talking in a spiritual way. God has created every one of you unique. And so we can't create these 10 models and say, we'll fit into one of them. No, there's billions of scenarios and combinations. So when we go into a moment of prayer, and if soon we'll have a time of conclusion, if you in fact are looking for that kind of moment with the Holy Spirit, just sit there with your arms out and give Him an opportunity, give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to place in your soul that which He intends for you to work with, experience, enjoy, love, empower my life, to make a difference in your spouse, in your children. What a better way to demonstrate Christmas is to take that which has already been given to us and start to regift it. Ask the Holy Spirit that He would tear down your pride. And if you have been a spoiled brat child of His, that He would take you gently by the neck of the neck. He will take you by the nape of the neck, and He will set you up on a stool and say, listen, child, listen, daughter, listen, son, I have created you for a plan and a purpose, and you need to start living that out. Let Him do that work in you. Let's pray. Bow your head.